You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Danny Wexelman with Mariners reporter Greg Johns, who is covering all things for us at MLB.com. And Greg, before we get to any baseball conversations, I have to know, how was your Thanksgiving? How many servings did you have? What was your favorite side dish? Tell me all the details.
Sadly, I'm still eating from Thanksgiving.
Yes, that's great.
We cooked plenty. We had the kids over, cooked more than we needed. It's still in the fridge, and I'm not opposed to leftover turkey and stuffing, and it's kind of dangerous, frankly. You know, still some pecan pie. I'm going to put pecan pie at the top of my list if you want. Just to kind of get in enough sugar to keep me rolling for through this podcast and beyond, maybe into the season. So it's all good. Thanksgiving's great. Mine was wonderful, and thanks for asking.
Can you send me any pie? I would be a fan of that.
Yeah, we can. We certainly have some left. So yeah.
Yeah.
My son's girlfriend came over and brought three pies when we probably needed one for the group we had.
Oh my gosh.
So it's all good in the pie world.
I love it. I love it. Now you're making me hungry. But I guess we'll talk about baseball now, Greg.
All right.
So I wanted to talk about Hisashi Iwakuma. And from what I can see, and you tell me if I'm wrong, it looks like the Mariners' rotation looks pretty good. It looks like they got a bunch of good guys. But Hisashi Iwakuma, he was obviously out last year with shoulder issues, became a free agent when Seattle declined his club option for 2018. But instead, they ended up giving him $1 million in a buyout. Obviously, they respect him. And if he can come back at 36, right, and win a spot, they want to give him the chance to do that. But why is this a good deal for the club and for Iwakuma?
Well, with Iwakuma, they're bringing him back on a minor league deal, and he was willing to do that because of his shoulder issues. He's questionable if he'll even be ready for the start of the season. He had shoulder surgery in late September. They finally kind of decided to go in and clean up some problems. And he missed almost all of last season.
He
pitched the first month, and then he just fought that shoulder. And he's a guy that worked so hard. He was out there trying over and over to come back, and it just never got right. And so they finally went in and cleaned that thing up, and he should. They're hoping to, he could be thrown by the start of camp, and whether he's ready for the start of the season or not is a question. So he's willing to come back. This is a guy who's been a Mariner, since he came over from Japan. He's always been a Mariner. Loves Seattle, and it's home for he and his family. Feels comfortable there. And so when it was clear that he wasn't going to hit the free agent world and make Buka bucks anywhere, he said, hey, I want to be in Seattle. I want to rehab this thing. I want to get right. And he's a very loyal guy. He said right after the surgery that he wanted to come back and produce again. I think he felt bad that he didn't deliver last year, and he's the kind of guy that wants to get it right, and he wants to get it right here in Seattle. So they do have a number of guys coming back. I think that Zapata would still like to add another quality arm to that rotation, and I suspect that he'll be active in the free agent market whenever that free agent market finally starts heating up here. But they do have James Paxton and Felix and Mike Leek kind of top of that rotation, and Erasmo Ramirez, Ariel Miranda that pitched well for them last year, and a couple of young guys, and Marco Gonzalez and Andrew Moore that can fit in there. So they have some numbers. Iwakuma, I don't think they expect to contribute right off, but if he can get healthy and be what he's been in the past, he's been one of the better starters in the American League for 5 or 6 years. So if they can get him healthy, certainly would be a help.
Yeah. So, okay, here's my follow-up question. I have two, and of course they pertain to Shohei Ohtani. I'm wondering if this – obviously the Mariners are extending a really nice gesture to Iwakuma, but does this have anything to do with Shohei Ohtani at all?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think every move that's made in 30 clubs this year has probably got Shohei Ohtani somewhere in the back of the mind. So, I'm not going to sit here and say it has nothing to do with that, but I think really this is about Iwakuma and the loyalty he's had with the club and his history. And I think this is a no-risk minor league deal to bring him back, get healthy. So, does it help that they've got a guy like Iwakuma that's well-respected in Japan and has a history with the Mariners and certainly would be, I assume, a welcome addition to the team if Ohtani came here? Sure, I don't think that's a a non-factor, but I don't think it's the driving force.
Okay, my next question also has to do with Mr. Ohtani. So he asked the clubs, this is so interesting to me, he asked the clubs to tell him why that he should choose that specific club. And obviously, like all along, money is great. Whoever can offer him the most is great. But I think it's becoming more clear that that's not his main focus. If it was really about the money, he would have waited, right? He wouldn't have come here early. He would have waited so he could get the maximum amount of money. So I think he really wants to feel welcome. And there are rumors swirling, you know, he wants to be the only Japanese player on the team. There are lots of different things. But what do you think the Mariners are going to write in their letter to Shohei Ohtani to convince him to come play there?
Yeah, I assume they'll ask him if he's a coffee drinker and Starbucks. is you know, if he likes Starbucks, salmon, and the Space Needle, you got to come to Seattle, right?
Yeah.
So, it's interesting. This is a fascinating offseason with Ohtani, and the Mariners are smack in the middle of it. And if you know, Jerry DePoto came out and flat out said, hey, this we've been planning for this for over a year. So I think when that letter writing came, I'm pretty sure they had that plan already, and I'm 100% sure that they focus largely on the Japanese history with the Mariners,
and there's a
reason that they feel they're a good fit for Ohtani, and they've gone over to Japan and used their resources there and their connections to get to know him and get in behind some doors that maybe some other clubs haven't, and they will continue to hammer, I'm sure, on their Japanese history, which since 1998 they've had a Japanese player on the team every year, and that's a long stretch, and
definitely.
that's a group that, you know, Ichiro is as it turns out, Ohtani has said, one of his favorite players. So you know, there you start with that history, and you know, it's not just Ichiro. I mean, this is a club that had, you know, Kazuhiro Sasaki was the closer for in the early 2000s, and you know, the 116 win team in 2001, he was a huge part of that and their history there. You know, Iwakuma that we just talked about has been the last 6 years, you know, one of their top starters. You know, Kenji Jojima was the catcher here in the mid 2000s. You know, had I think 4 years he was a starting catcher, and you know, going back to Shigetoshi Hasegawa, I remember it was back in the early 2000s, was a big player. You know, recently Nori Aoki, and Miuno Norikawasaki, these guys. I mean, the Mariners' history is flush with Japanese connections, and all the way back to the ownership group. I mean, this is the only team in Major League history that has been owned by a Japanese group, and with the Nintendo Corporation, and from, I think, bought them in 1992 and owned them until a year ago when they sold out and still have a minority ownership, but not the majority ownership anymore. So this is a team that's well founded, and along with that becomes you get guys like Ichiro and Iwakuma who have you know, become big parts of Seattle, and can sell this franchise to Ohtani. I would believe it's the comfort level that they had in Seattle. You know, why they like it. You know, Iwakuma has made this his home and loves it here. You know. So some guys like to be in New York. Some guys like the big city, want to be in L.A. and Hollywood. And some guys like, a city like Seattle. It's a little smaller, but still has a huge Japanese-American population and a comfortable environment. So, you know, I'm sure that they're going to hammer hard on that. And, you know, I think one of the most interesting things that DePoto has said this offseason is that he's willing and able to move Nelson Cruz into the outfield a couple days a week if Ohtani came here, so that Ohtani could DH. You know, I mean, that's a pretty big statement. I mean, they're talking about doing everything they can to make this a situation attractive to Ohtani, and they also went out and made a trade to build up a little more international pool money that they can use to compete for that. So they're guns a-blazing on this thing, and I would, like you, love to read the letter they put together. I'm sure it was well presented and very in-depth. It's the recruiting process, and it reminds you of college. Andy, I mean, just the, you know, going after a guy and selling him on your team, and not just throwing a bunch of money, but selling him on what you have, and I think that's where Seattle's going to go, and you know, as well as how they've handled Japanese players in the past, you know, their familiarity with, you know, translators and getting guys in the community and making them comfortable. So I think they're a legitimate contender, but again, as you said, nobody really knows what it exactly is that Ohtani is looking for.
Yeah. It's so fascinating, and it's a full court press, and we haven't seen this. where every single team feels like I got to have this guy, obviously, and now we have to kind of prove it. Even if you're not, you don't have the money to do it, or you don't. I can't imagine a team saying they don't need him, but you know, for every single team to be asked to write a letter and say, why is this guy the best fit? Why should I choose you? It's a magical moment in baseball right now. And I think that wherever he lands, I hope to be able to read that letter that got sent to him one day. I hope that that letter comes out.
That would be great.
And I think we'll obviously be talking about this guy until he goes somewhere. But in the meantime, my last question for you, Mr. Johns, you've got this weekly Mariners inbox, which has some of the best questions that I see. I feel like fans always come up with really great questions. And I saw one about Kyle Lewis. He's the Mariners' number one prospect. People are interested in this guy. They want to know, you know, what's his projected path in 2018? Where do you think he's going to be? What do you see from him?
Yeah, Kyle's been an interesting case. He is definitely their number one prospect. And every time he has been on a field, they've said this guy is heads and shoulders above everybody we've got. He is clearly the guy they're counting on being a big part of their outfield future. But, you know, he blew out his knee big time, ACL and MCL, when home plate collision 2 years ago, when right as he was beginning his pro career. So really missed a full year. Last year came back toward mid-season and played fairly well in A-ball toward the end of the year, and pretty well in the playoffs. So there's some optimism there. But they had him prepared to play in the Arizona Fall League, played two games and started having some more kind of tenderness and soreness. So they pulled him out. They say he's got some tendonitis in that area. They don't think it's a structural problem again, but they're just sore from working in so hard for a year to get back on the thing and then trying to keep playing on it. So they said, hey, let's take the rest of the winter off, get that thing right. And they're really looking at next year as being his time to kind of get back to being 100% of Kyle Lewis. And this is a guy who's a five-tool guy that can do a lot of things. So, you know, the path is still down the road a ways. He's not a guy that's major league ready. They've rushed guys to the majors before without great results. I think they'll want to take their time with Kyle. I would suspect he'll move up to double-A ball at some point this next year and just give him time to get his feet wet. And from there, you know, it's how he performs. You know, if you play well, you move up, and if you need time, you right. take that time. So, I think I don't suspect that we'll see him on a Mariner roster next year, but, you know, I don't rule out anything. But I would think the plan would be, you know, probably double-A ball next year and then take it from there. And if he can keep those at-bats and really get healthy and show what he can do, then maybe the following year you start to look at how soon he can be in the major leagues. But certainly an exciting prospect, one of a few the Mariners have, and a guy to keep an eye on.
All right. Well, Greg, it seems like we're going to have to wait a little bit longer to hear of any major moves being made. We've got the winter meetings coming up a week and a half, so we will wait with bated breath and see what the Mariners and Jerry Dipoto decide to do. But until then, my friend, I hope you have a great week, and I so appreciate all your insights and your time.
We will do it again next week. Hopefully the turkey's done by then, and we can just talk baseball.
All right. Well, we'll see about that. I may still talk about the turkey, but
yeah, I'm all right with that, too.
Yes. All right, Greg Johns, you are our MLB.com Mariners reporter. You can catch all his stuff on Mariners.com. I'm Danny Wexelman, and we will catch you next time.